Longtime North Bennington resident, museum curator, and author Tom Fells is back telling farm stories specifically about Montague Farm. His new book is Buying the Farm, Peace and War on a 60s Commune. Fells is following up on the success of his book, Farm Friends, in which he told the story of many of the personalities of Montague Farm, a commune in western Massachusetts, where he spent 4 years from 1969 to 1973. His latest offering is a comprehensive history of that same cooperative from its inception to the present day. And it's a pleasure to welcome Tom Fells to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Nice to be here.
It is fascinating about this place when we talk about this, the history, because it is obviously you have a very personal story, and it seemed in this book that you wanted to look at the place.
Yes.
More so than your story, but more about the place.
Correct. Farm Friends was more personal. This is more of a straight history.
And but the history of the place is fascinating.
Indeed. Yes, I can tell you how I got into that, which might interest people. I happened to move to the farm. I was invited in my last term of college. A friend said, well, we've just bought this farm. Why don't you come live on this farm? Well, it turned out to be a commune. I stayed for 4 years. And after that, I felt that I should follow along all these people's lives. And really, for the next 25 years or so, I collected things when I could. If I saw things in the paper, I would buy their books, of which there are many. And after that period, it seemed it was time to tell the story. So I think the story is really simple. From that era, there were many idealistic enterprises that started, among them communes, but also co-ops of various kinds, artist groups, and so on. The point is that after a number of years, it's not so easy to sustain them. And so the first half of Buying the Farm is really about the farm's first 25 years, which were successful by most measures. And the second part is really about how that fell apart, which is also interesting, especially from a human point of view, I think.
When you think of the creation of a community like this, I mean, how much of it was that the time was right?
Absolutely. This farm started from something called the Liberation News Service, which was an underground news service. And it was moved to the farm. It didn't survive that long at the farm. But it was absolutely something that came out of those times. As I write in the beginning of the book, the year that the farm started, 1968, and its adjoining years were just total chaos in the U.S. And a lot of people wanted to get away from that. And they felt that if they bought a place and therefore were kind of protected from some of the outside forces, that they could lead a successful life and show people that idealistic ventures could work. And that was true at a certain level. We were self-sufficient, became self-sufficient, and the farm went on its merry way for quite a number of years. But times did change, and I point out to people, not really as part of this book, but in general, yes, a lot of 60s values did get played out in places like this, and they really made their way into American life, especially lifestyle, entertainment, this kind of thing. On the other hand, the other big result of that time was the reaction to all of this, and you soon had the Reagan era, and up to today, a lot of counter-reaction to all of that, what we considered good stuff, but which many people did not.
The farm was founded in 1968. You went to live there in 1969, and I'm going to do my best not to make this question sound clunky, but do you feel in your 4 years there that you were there at its height, or that it was just finding its legs? Because you think of the time, and it would seem that on a timeline that you would be there at sort of the zenith. But I'm curious as to your feeling of were you there at really the height of its power, and then the rest of the time was kind of a struggle, or was it just finding itself and organizationally getting its act together?
Yes, very good question. Montague had periods of time, sometimes long periods. The first one, when I was there, in a sense, yes, it was a zenith. Most people my age, I was in my 20s, hadn't done anything for 4 years. You know, maybe they had been to college, certainly to high school, but to do something for 4 years was a real commitment. And the people who were there during that time were very devoted, for the most part, to what was going on, establishing a self-sufficient life, basically social change in different forms. And so people from that period really did feel that they were part of something very exciting. After that, the farm subsided a little bit, but then it was totally reawoken in 1974, about a year after I left, and had about a 10-year period of political activism, largely in the anti-nuclear movement, but also organic gardening, solar energy, and so on. Then it subsided again, and then it rose up again under some independent organic farmers who ran it, and then it kind of crashed at the end. So each of those periods, there were people who thought that they were involved in something very exciting. The periods weren't always connected. You didn't always have the same people. Yes, for when I was there, it was very exciting. On the other hand, after 4 years, most of the people who had started the farm were gone.
Put it into some perspective. How many people were living on the farm when you were there?
Maybe 8 to 10, I would say. It tended to be more in the summer when life was easier and fewer in the winter.
Yeah. And it was a come and go kind of thing.
Yes, lots of coming and going. There were a few people who had very long histories there, but for the most part, the longest people would stay was a couple of years, and the least were, you know, days, hours. Lots of people going through this place. And this is one reason that I am interested in drawing people's attention to it. Many people went through the farm and also a group of farms that was allied to. And I feel that they make a real, a kind of a switchboard for social life at that period of time. And so besides the books, I've also founded an archive at UMass so that people from that period and from these places can contribute material. And I think it would be a great group to study for the future.
How much of a supplement was this experience to your formal education?
Well, I had an interesting background in that I had a pretty progressive environment. I grew up at Bennington College as a faculty kid, and then I went to Putney, which is a very progressive school. So actually a lot at the farm wasn't really new to me. On the other hand, I also went to Amherst College, which was fairly conservative. And so I'd say that the farm definitely was an extension of my earlier education. It wasn't really an extension of my formal education. And I think an important thing about that experience for a lot of people was that it gave them a place to form themselves. And they could, without a lot of outside pressure, they could say, okay, I think I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. I'm going to write. I'm going to be a potter. I'm going to paint. I'm going to be an activist. And for me, that kind of led to the writing and other such things. So I was very grateful for that.
I asked the question because it seems, you certainly address this in the book, of what happened to many of the people who were at the farm. And by and large, it's an independent alternative lifestyle that has sort of bolstered many people and gave them the confidence to go on and do these pursuits.
I really think that's true, and especially if you look at its anti-nuclear chapter there for about 10 years. These are people who started on the farm. They expanded to the town. They expanded to the region in the Clamshell Alliance. They expanded to the nation through something called Muse with concerts to raise money. They were very, very effective. And then when that push was over, they went back, and they lived on the farm or in the area. So I give them a lot of credit. Yeah, I would say the farm was a springboard for a lot of different individual styles of life, which I try to follow in both these books.
What happened to the farm?
Well, at the end of buying the farm, people will discover it was once again for sale. That was a year or so ago. It has been sold to individuals, but it's going to continue as a nonprofit. It's going to become a retreat center, basically. And so it's going to continue, to everybody's amazement, into another era of some kind of spiritual and political activity.
What is there about, is there, because I found this in the book, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I found it, there, it seems that you're writing about a place that had an incredible effect on a lot of people, but you don't seem to write about it in a mystical, mysterious way of that there was something about these walls that allowed the people that were inhabited within them to do incredible work.
Well, yes, good point. I was writing many years after there were a number of things written about these farms. This was a very well-documented place and set of places, about four farms that were connected. The first was something called Famous Long Ago by Ray Mungo, which has just been republished, actually, by UMass. What the Trees Said, there were several books about these people and many articles. And I felt that the mythology, which is what you're describing, which was real, it didn't always extend into the future. It was true of those early years. There was what people at the farms called the magic. And in the book, there's an example. There's no one at the farm. Everybody's away. It's time to get in the hay. People show up, you know, neighbors and so on. They say, okay, we're going to get in the hay. But you can't depend on that kind of thing. And so I felt that to tell the actual story of the farm, you had to really tell the whole story, which included, beyond the mythology, a little actuality. Yeah. And so that's really why I stuck to the facts. One of the reviewers of Farm Friends said, well, I can see why Tom didn't tell the whole early story of Montague, because it's been told. And I had the same challenge for this book. So I go lightly over the early history, so to speak, and heavier on the later history. And that's partly to counteract what was, I thought, a kind of overwhelming mythology that was a little stronger than the facts.
You were young. And it was 1969 when you started to live on the farm. When you find out more information, and you find out how the sausage is made, does it change the experience at all to you, and how you reflect on it and think about it?
Interesting. Yes, it absolutely does. I started out to write a short book that was described roughly as. So what was the commune like for people?
Yeah.
And that would have been a bit more chirpy and pleasant. When I got into the research material, which I had to dig and dig and dig, but I did find a very different story came out, and that was that really, due to a couple of people, this place was really lost to its community. And so that wasn't a story I had intended to set out to tell, but I felt it was the story that needed to be told. So it did alter my view. It didn't alter my view of my experience or really what I knew of the history, but it altered what I felt needed to be said about it.
And it's interesting, the difference between nostalgia and sentimentality.
There was much of both in this large crew, which we're now talking about really a couple of hundred people, you know, who went through these places. And they all share things. Only yesterday I was at a book party for someone from the farm family. There were just tons of people overflowing this bookshop. They're very supportive of each other. They believe in a lot of similar things. That part of it has certainly survived. But as I talk about in buying the farm, I think it survives outside the particular place. And a good question that's sometimes raised is, well, what is the importance of a place? Many people thought the farm was a very, very important place, but they weren't able to rally to save it. And actually, I think people ended up feeling that the spirit involved and all the things that we shared turned out to be more important than the actual land.
The name of the book is Buying the Farm, Peace and War on a 60s Commune. The book is published by University of Massachusetts Press. Again, it is Buying the Farm, Peace and War on a 60s Commune. Tom will be talking about and signing the book at Water Street Books in Williamstown, Massachusetts on Thursday at 6 p.m. He will be at the Northshire Bookstore in Manchester Center, Vermont on Friday at 7 p.m. Again, the name of the book is Buying the Farm. Tom Fells, a great pleasure to have you share the story with us. I thank you very much.
All right. My pleasure.
Always a pleasure to have you here.
Okay.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.